Luke chapter 16, our last message on our financial series, and I do hope it's been a blessing to you. Good reminder for all of us, and so this has been good for me, honestly, to restudy this and shore up some areas of our life and make sure that I'm looking at things right and considering the Lord in everything. Luke chapter 16 starts out with a very interesting parable. If you're reading down through this parable, about two-thirds of the way down, you're going to think to yourself, this master is going to kill this steward. What in the world is he doing? You know, it's going to seem irresponsible what he's doing. And then we have this surprising verse where the master, the Lord, commends the unjust steward. So you think about that as we read this. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, we've already talked about stewardship, and we're reading a story, obviously, about a situation, a man. But now that we understand better our position as God is our Lord and we are the steward, okay, I don't think there's any of us that couldn't say when we read the end of that verse, man, I don't think I've been perfect in this area of my life. And you know, there's probably some things the Lord got sent through my hands that I either wasted. That's what he said there. He said, the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So you think about our relationship with the Lord as we read this. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down and quickly write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take the bill and write 80. Now notice verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done what? Wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true treasures or riches? Now, folks, I mentioned this once before. I won't mention it again, but, you know, not all riches is talking about money and treasure and materialism. I mean, I know people don't have a whole lot, and they're the richest people in the world. And so just point that out there. Verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this parable. And interesting, Lord. I'm excited to be able to talk about it tonight. I think it gives us, Lord, a course of action that will help some of the stewardship complications that we may have created by bad or poor decisions on our part, Lord. And just, I pray, Lord, this closing message, we kind of wrap things together and be a blessing to our people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. Thank you, folks. Interesting parable. Interesting parable. Here's a man, a Lord, that has left his possessions in the care of a steward. And then he has gone and he's away, and the steward is not managing his finances and what the Lord has. He's not handling it well. He's being an unjust, poor steward. He's not been a wise steward up to this point. And so the Lord hears about it, and he sends him a letter or a telegram or Pony Express or something and gets a message to him and says, hey, this is what I hear. I'm coming. You're going to give an account. And if it's not a good account, then you're no longer going to be my steward. And so the man resolved, verse 4, in himself what he would do. And so what he did was he then called some of the Lord's debtors. And he said unto the first, verse 5, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Now understand what we're saying here. He's not saying, hey, you owe me 100, so let's fake the documentation. What he's basically saying is, listen, I know you owe me 100, but if you'll pay me 50 now, we'll call it good. I know you owe me 100, but if you'll pay me 50 now, we'll call it good. Then he called another guy, verse 7, then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So what do you owe me? 100. All right. Could we settle it today for 80? Well, yeah, that's a good deal. Okay, then let's settle it right now. If you can pay me right now, what's he doing? He's trying to do as much as he can to reduce the damages of a bunch of poor decisions, you know. Now, that's going to help all of us because I think there's been in everybody's life sometimes where maybe we've made some unwise decisions concerning our handling of our finances and handling of the Lord's finances ultimately. And so you say, preacher, what does these things create in our life? And we're going to talk tonight about stewardship complications. Stewardship complications. Now, I've tried to paint a picture up here that I hope has been a very simple picture. Did I tell you I like simple, simple, simple? Simplify your life as much as possible. And maybe oversimplistic, but you know what? We all have a treasure box, and the Lord allows some money to go into that box. And the whole idea is to put everything that we have come in there on a weekly or monthly basis, and then the output, manage the output according to biblical principles and in a wise fashion. The goal, of course, is to have some abundance at the end of every month so that, you know what, we're not going constantly backwards. We're building some. We're getting a little more in case there are some things that we could then begin to buy instead of feeling like we always have to borrow for it, or if we have an unusual thing happen and a crisis that we didn't expect happen, there's an abundance building in there. So we're not always just living hand to mouth. And so that's kind of the goal. And that box there, it would work pretty well if we kept things pretty simple. Here's my income from work. Here's some maybe a few avenues of passive income. You know, from time to time, some providential income where the Lord just blesses it. Hey, I didn't expect that. Thank you, Lord. I know where it came from. And then so we have these income, and then we manage our output. But what really causes a lot of stewardship complications is if there's holes in the bottom and there's money falling out the bottom because of some unwise decisions that we've made, or there's some extra hands reaching in there with us, with our hands grabbing stuff out that's taken more than ought to come out. There's output that shouldn't be there, okay? And so what are you talking about, preaching, when you talk about stewardship complications? Several ways that money can be taken out of our treasure chest that prevent us from preserving and properly distributing the abundance. We are calling these stewardship complications. Let me list them, and then we'll talk about each one individually. Well, if we're paying back borrowed money, that's a stewardship complication, okay? Because, folks, all we're doing is working hard to make money that we are paying back that we've already borrowed, and that's keeping us from getting ahead. So debt is a stewardship complication, okay? Yeah. Then on top of that, there's another hand reaching in there, interest on borrowed money. So you're just not paying back the money, you're paying back interest on it. Now all of a sudden there's another hand in there taking money out. By the way, if you were debt-free, those two hands wouldn't be reaching in every month. And so number 3, impulse buying. Let me talk to you real quick about that. What is impulse buying? Buying because we see it or smell it or just want it. This is unplanned spending outside of our budget. And folks, listen to me, they've done a study on this. They know how to get you, okay? There's a reason that all that stuff is lined up as you're waiting in the checkout line, okay? I mean, they're not dumb. And so now, you know what, they not only do that, but they do it through your social media, they do it through your other accounts, on the internet, where they're always dropping this on you, dropping that on you. And I don't care if you just got simple email, there's advertisements and this and that, and just constantly in front of you, all these things. And it's so easy to say, wow, well, what's that? You weren't looking for that. You didn't even really need that. But just something to kind of bait you into buying something, you know. So impulse buying, unwise spending, not making a wise choice on the quality of the purchase. I'll talk about that. Sometimes there's things we have to buy. But, you know, if you're not careful, you can try to save money in the purchase of something. Have you ever done this? And buying the absolute cheapest and then have it not last, and guess what? You're going back and replacing it. And if you thought, you know, you don't have to buy the best of everything, but it's probably not a good idea to buy the worst of everything. If you buy a good, reliable, you know, you young people are great about checking the reviews. And so, you know, might take a look at what everybody's saying about what you're thinking about buying there. Devour financial judgment as a result of not giving our tithes and offering. And up to this point, it may be that the Lord has loosed the devourer into your life, and some of the stuff that's coming out of that box is just God's judgment because you won't tithe. And there's only one way to turn that off and get rid of that devourer, and that's be obedient to the Lord on your tithes and offerings. And then there's always the calamity. Preacher, an unexpected calamity. It's not a result of a bad decision. It's not a result of anything that I could have prevented. Just all of a sudden, we had something happen in our lives, and it has put us into debt. Maybe it was a medical situation. And, you know, all of a sudden, man alive, when the smoke clears and, you know, kid falls and breaks their arm or something happens, and next thing you know, you got $15,000 worth of bills laying on your desk. I didn't expect this. This kind of came out of nowhere, you know, or something along those lines, okay? So now let's address each of those, because I believe that God is there is there to help us even in some of the stewardship complications. You know, folks, listen, God remembers that we're but dust. And I want to just say this, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And I think if we go to him and we're very honest about these things, now if we just keep ignoring him and we're going to fix it ourselves, he may just sit back and say, okay, when you get done, you might come talk to me, okay? But, you know, when we go to him and say, okay, Lord, there's some things I've been doing that's unbiblical, or there's some mistakes that I made, unwise choices that I made. And Lord, I've kind of dug myself into a hole. And Lord, thank you. Listen, look right up here. Thank you for Pastor caring enough about us to spend some time on this. This wasn't designed to hurt anybody. I want every one of you to be in the best possible position you can be in financially. And so, you know, Lord, just be honest with the Lord about it. You know, we've made some of the decisions, haven't been the wisest, and Lord, some of them against maybe Bible principles, or we haven't been giving faithfully and regularly in our tithes and offerings, and Lord, I'm going to start doing right, and Lord, I just need some mercy. I mean, any of you ever pray for mercy? I mean, I need it all the time. Okay, mercy is you not getting what we probably deserve, and I'm going to tell you, God's merciful. And so, you know, when one of your kids have messed up, if they come to you before you have to come to them, and they have a repentant heart, and mom, dad, I got to tell you something, I'm just stupid, and I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry, and you can tell they're repentant, you're going to tell me they're not going to get a measure of mercy they wouldn't have gotten if they were stubborn and rebellious about it and unrepentant about it? Well, I think, you know, we're made in the image of God, so we've got to come to the Lord. And one of the things I think I've got listed down here, maybe not on this list here, I think it was on another list, was just involve prayer in this. Okay, preacher, I'm in debt and I don't even know how to get out. Then put it on your prayer list. One thing, if you're praying about it every morning, you're bringing it for the Lord, someone who can do something about it. Another thing, if you got it on your prayer list, you're looking at it every day. And that's not a bad thing. Keeps it on your mind, your heart. You're tempted to go out that day and you think, oh man, I'd like to, wait a minute. Oh, here I am praying to the Lord asking me to get out of debt. I don't really need that. What am I doing? And sometimes these habits are hard to break, folks, but I'm telling you, If you attack it, you ask God to help you, he'll help you. He really will. So let's look at each of these complications. Okay, what about borrowed money? Let's set as a goal to be debt-free as soon as possible. Preacher, I've got several different debts, and I want to get rid of them. And so let me just point you back to Luke chapter 16. All right, you want to get out of debt? You know, the first thing I would do is I would look around, and everything and anything that I didn't absolutely have that wasn't nailed down, and maybe a few things that were nailed down, I'd sell them. Right. Oh, but preacher, I paid $2,000 for that thing. There's no way I can get $2,000 back for it. What can you get for it? Isn't that what the man did? Well, if I sell, I only get $800. That's $800 off your debt. By the way, did you learn a financial lesson? Probably worth the $1,200 then. You know, sometimes you pay for an education. I had to pay for an education in college. Sometimes you pay in different ways for an education. But you know what? A lot of times we just look around and you don't say, well, I'm $12,000 in debt. You may have $3,000 worth of stuff that you could sell. Okay? And then you know what? Guess what? You only own $9,000. Well, that's not all of it. Well, that's a lot of it. And by the way, if God sees that, don't you think he's going to take notice? Did the Lord rebuke him for doing that? He said, you know what? You were a wise steward in the way you did that. And sometimes, guys, we just have to cut our losses. All right? We bought some things we really didn't need. What can you get out of them? Then sell them. Well, man, I'm only going to get 10%. Well, get 10%. You know what this guy was saying? Hey, a little bit getting from these guys is better than nothing. And it's going to put me in a little bit better light with the master. And then, you know, we've got the Jesus saying, that's a wise man right there. So if it's not nailed down, sell it, you know. So that, and then don't sell that and put every dime on the principle of whatever, wherever you owe, okay? On the principle, okay? And then this is something Dad used to teach, and it works. There's people in our church that have done it and proved it out. We've done it and proved it out. Let's say you have three bills here, okay? You owe $1,000 on, let's just use credit cards for it. You owe $1,000 on this credit card. You owe, $2,600 on this one, and you owe $10,000 on this one. And you say, well, how do I get out of this much credit card debt? Dad used to always say, target the smallest one. And any abundance that God gives you, pay on the principal. Don't just pay what's owed, folks, because that's mostly interest. You understand how it works. So always send extra to go on the principal and just attack that smallest one. As soon as you get that paid off, then you take that amount that you were paying on that one and you add it to what you were paying on the next largest one and you start attacking that one down. And every month now you were paying, let's say you were paying $100, $200, and $350 on these bills. Well, you get this one down, and you got an extra $100 you were paying that you can flip over onto this one. Start working this one down. Preacher, it's going to take forever. Okay, you know what? You didn't get in trouble overnight. And sometimes God just lets us learn some lessons. But again, let me speak for my good and gracious Heavenly Father. I don't know if anybody's gone down this road where God didn't look at that and go, wow, they sold everything and they threw it right on that principle. And you know what? They also have now attacked one and they've got it done and they're flipping it over and they're tightening their belts and they're living smart and they're throwing everything they can at that. You don't think if one of my kids made some stupid financial decisions, sometimes it's not a good, healthy thing for me to bail them out completely. But if I see they're working at it, you don't think I'm going to help them out a little bit if I can? And God, I think God's an awfully good God. And so you target the smallest amount owed, pay everything extra you can towards the debt. And then as you get that one down, get the first one done, man, you get that second one. Yeah, but the third one's the biggest one. But you've got two chunks of cash that you were sending out every single month that now you can flip over onto this one. And that one's going to start going down at a lot faster rate. And I'm not saying that you can get it done in 6 months or 9 months or a year, but when you pay that last payment, you're going to want to, listen, people will know all over Greene County because they'll hear you shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so just work away at it, okay? Now look right up here. You can't borrow your way out of debt. You can't. So, Okay, but I've seen this ad on TV. Stop. But I got something through an email. Stop. Stop. Okay, but if I do loan consolidation, stop. Just follow the plan I just gave to you and take care of it, okay? And by the way, while you're paying off debt, do not borrow any more money.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And if you have to clip, clip, clip to do it, clip, clip, clip to do it, take it out of your ability to even be able to get to it. And so, good? Okay? I might mention this. Don't borrow money. Do not co-sign a loan for someone else. Get rid of credit cards. And if you can do most of what you need to do with a debit card, and you can only use what's in there, so you know, might switch to a debit card. So paying back borrowed money. Number two, paying interest on borrowed money. So we mentioned that, paying back the borrowed money, paying back the interest on borrowed money. Now, you say, preacher, let's keep the scenario. I got these three credit cards. They're all high interest rate. Maybe this one, some's higher than the others. And so what do I do? Well, the interest disappears when you pay them off, okay? Let me just say that. That's the goal. So that's two hands out. But in the meantime, when you're first starting, you may call your creditors and see if there's any way you can get an interest rate reduction. And I got into a little bit of credit card trouble for a while, and what I did was one of them was a lower rate, and so I switched the higher interest rate credit card onto the lower rate, and we were able to get it down quicker because we were paying less interest on it. But I will tell you, if you're very deep into credit card debt, it's going to be hard to get them to negotiate down the interest. I'm just telling you. And the best way to get rid of the interest, pay off the loan. When the loan's paid off or the credit card's paid off, the interest disappears. But it's worth the phone call. It's worth the phone call. And again, be careful. You know, there's people making money off people all over. Well, preacher, I was up the other night. There's this outfit that's negotiated with the credit card companies for me. And just listen to the preacher, okay? You know, there's an old thing that they used to say, and I'm going to say what Brother Klein asked me to say, and he mentioned it to me, and I think it's worth saying. But there's this old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true, okay? So just be careful. There's all kinds of slick people out there going to rescue you, and all they're going to do is get you in more debt. Then they want all that money coming to them instead of somebody else. Brother Klein said that this is something worth mentioning. I appreciate him mentioning it. Folks, you have, look right up here, you have to be so careful of scams out there. And there's a lot of those scams that are preying on our elderly people. So let me say this, if you have an elderly parent, you've got to really watch out for them in this area. And a bunch of crooks are going to stand before God one of these days, taking advantage of widow ladies and elderly people by conning them out of their money on the phone. But it's just not elderly people that are falling for stuff. And again, folks, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And you got to be so careful. And they have become so slick now that I will tell you, they will send you things, text messages. They'll send it through the email. You're convinced this is coming from AT&T, and it's not, okay? And so you have to really listen. I mean, you know what? There's a way to contact directly somebody you owe money to or somebody that, you know, like your electric company or something like that, your bank. I mean, they are so slick. And if you're not careful, you're giving information and you're answering. Some of them are just out there trying to see if you'll respond to a text or respond to an email. And then they sell you to lists of people that are scam artists. There's so many things. Listen, maybe I'm just too untrustworthy. I don't trust anything. You know, trust but verify, okay? I don't just trust but verify. I trust but verify, 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 verify. And I probably really don't trust it after all, you know? So there's just so many scams out there. Be so careful, okay? Now, we mentioned impulse buying. How do you eliminate impulse buying? You know, that impulse buying is costing you more than you think. One of the great things we were challenged with way back, freshman level, college, personal finance, one of our assignments was to carry a little notebook in our pocket and for an entire month write down everything we spent money on. And until you've actually done that in your life, you don't even know how much. It's floating through your hands, that you don't even think about. And so, you know what? Try that. Why not? What's it going to hurt you? And for one thing, it'll make you stop. If you have to write down everything you spend, so you're in line at Walmart and you got your little pad out and you're writing down, you know, what you spend it on and all this. The lady's like, yeah, it's my preacher, you know, and so you're writing it all down. But, you know, you hey, folks, this is going to surprise some of you. But, you know, you can pull into a gas station, get out, pump your gas, get back in the car and leave. You don't even have to walk in there and buy a pop or a drink or a candy bar. I don't think it's very much fun to do it that way, but it is possible to actually do it that way. And we just got to, we've been trained, man. We just got to be trained that, you know, they know. You talk to the guys that own the gas station. They don't make any money on the gas. They're making their money off, you know, Twinkies and, you know, Hostess ding-dongs and Baptist ding-dongs, you know, so. Listen to what I'm going to say, because I want you to think about this. Don't get your defenses up. Impulse buying is an addiction. It's an addiction. I want you to start thinking about it like that. You know, if I said, you know, say, preacher, I said, man, somebody said to me, you're addicted to coffee. You know what we tend to say? No, I'm not. Quit anytime I want. Okay, then do it. Then, you know, 3 days later, you hear I'm in jail, you know, because I punched out somebody at General Dollar General because I didn't get my coffee, you know. So, and a lot of times what is an addiction in our life, we don't recognize it until we turn it off. And if it's not an addiction in your life, then let's just not do it the rest of the week. Okay, and some of you are going to say, yeah, that's a good thing, I won't do it. And you know what? You'll be in the car holding the item before you realized you did it. And you'll be going, wait a minute. Because it almost becomes as natural as breathing to us. Okay, so just check it out. Check it out. And again, I don't think the Lord's upset when we treat ourselves from time to time, but I don't think he's pleased when it's an addiction, you know. And so think about that. Allow yourself a set amount of spending money per week. Pay cash for everything. This will help you if you're in debt. Go to an all cash. Spend cash for everything. You're going to have to because you cut up your credit cards, remember? Don't look at advertisements sent in the mail or with your newspaper. Anything advertisements-wise, we bring into the house, we flip the letters one way, all the advertisements the other, and I go right over the trash can and drop it. You know, it's called window shopping. You know, have you ever gone window shopping? Never buy a window, but you buy a bunch of other stuff. You know? Okay. It's just, you know what? If we're not careful, we're just constantly looking at stuff, and it just feeds covetousness in our lives. Okay, so be careful about that. Throw them in the trash. Reduce your trips to town. Reduce your trips to town. Because almost every time I go to town, I spend money on something. So if I'm going five times a week, I'm probably spending more than if I went one time a week. You know, think about it. Go only to stores that are necessary. And then purchase wisely things that you've put on a list before you go. Okay? Don't ask the question, can I afford it? Ask the question, can I do without it? And this eliminating impulse buying is really a big thing, folks. Billions and billions and billions of dollars every year in America spent on impulse buying. And number four, eliminate unwise spending. Price check all items before purchasing. So when we do need to purchase some, and it's a genuine need or something we need to fix at the house or whatever, you know, just I'll tell you, the good side of technology is you can do a lot of, we used to have to price shop, we'd have to go to five or six different stores. You can go online now and see where you can get the best deal. And so price check all items before purchasing. Some I don't know if they even use coupons anymore. I think they're all on the phone now. Everybody's scanning their phone for some coupon. I don't know how it works. But about clip or download, as you can tell, these notes are old. Clip or download coupons when possible. Does anybody clip coupons anymore? Anybody? Some of you, you do? Good. Wow, I don't feel like a total dinosaur. Good, okay. Make sure you know the full price before making a purchase or commitment. You never figure out that when you go to buy something and it says this and you go and they add on about six things and then I'm like, wait a minute. You know? Okay, you don't need the warranty. don't buy the warranty, okay? Okay? Don't need the warranty. Maybe on a car, but they'll figure out more ways to get that $50 item up to $80. So don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. You wouldn't believe what I go through when I'm trying to rent a car when I'm out of town. I mean, they just, well, I'm going to upgrade you to that. No. Well, I can get you into, no. Well, do you need insurance? No. Do you want us to fill the gap? No. What I want is to be charged exactly what this said on your website, not one stinking penny more. And then they look at you, oh, he's that guy. All right, here you go. I mean, people just nickel dime you to death. They'll just nickel dime you to death, okay? So eliminate unwise spending. Be careful of buying something that is inexpensive, I mentioned this a minute ago, but will not last. Inferior quality may be cheaper, but will not last. Making it more expensive in the long run. So, you know, again, I said you don't buy the most expensive, cheapest, but a lot of times something in the middle. And so think about that. All right, let's, number five, eliminating the devourer. Well, this is pretty easy. It won't take but a minute. Faithfully give your tithes and offerings. Add to your tithe the generous offering. You know what, folks? Paying your child's Christian school bill is not a tithe or offering, okay? It is a payment for services rendered, okay? And be sure to tithe of all your increase. And if you'll do that, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And, you know, God will be generous to you. Number six, preparing for or paying off a calamity or a catastrophic financial setback. I don't think there's anybody in here that haven't faced that at some time. You know, preacher, I'm trying to do everything right. We're giving tithes, offerings, and, you know, we're budgeting as best we can, and we're working on paying off past debts, and we're doing a good job, and we're just, man, we finally got this smooth kind of, and all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, the dryer breaks down, or the washing machine gets, you know, a legion of demons inside of it, or the something, you know, and something happens, and all of a sudden a car calamity happens, and it happens to all of us, folks. It happens to all of us, okay? And so what? Look right up here. Lord, I'm paying my tithe. I'm giving offerings. We're barely making it now. We're trying to do all the right things. And all of a sudden, this happens right in the middle of it. Now think about this. One of the things when I have a financial calamity or catastrophic financial setback coming to my life, the one thing I want to do is just double check that I'm okay with the Lord. I'm just going to double check. Okay, I'm just going to say, Lord, are you trying to get my attention about something? Am I really doing what I ought to be doing? And you know what? You may do that and say, I am. But it doesn't hurt to double check because, folks, not all of this is God's judgment. It's not. There's sometimes people that are doing everything right, smack in the will of God, and some financial catastrophe comes in their life. Okay, so wasn't Job an upright man? Godly man? I can't see in chapter 1 thing that man's doing wrong. He was an example to everybody, and yet, look what hit him. And so, let's be careful not to be judgmental of other people. Come on now. Something hits a family, oh, they must not be doing this. Nah, come on. Okay? That sounds like Job's friends. All right? Which I'm not sure was friends, but okay. So, I check that out. All right? Then I always ask this question. All right? If I'm okay with the Lord and I think I'm doing everything that he's asked me to do and told me to do, then is this calamity self-inflicted? Did I do something unwise? Did I do something that I should have done different? And a lot of times the answer is going to be no. It just kind of came out of left field. But always check that. And by the way, if so, learn from your mistakes. Okay? If you're not doing something, God's trying to get your attention, then he's got your attention. Okay, Lord, I'm listening. Do what you're supposed to do. If I made an unwise decision, put me and my wife in this situation, okay, all right, I'll take my medicine. We'll dig out of it. But Lord, help me to learn something. Not let me do that again. But folks, the honest truth is a lot of times, sometimes, come on, in the case of Job, just God just does it to to try our faith. It's easy to serve the Lord when everything's going right. It's easy to serve the Lord when the blessings are coming. It's easy to serve the Lord when all the bills are paid. It's easy to serve the Lord when that abundance is building and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, and then preacher, out of nowhere, you know, this thing comes into mind. And all of a sudden, watch this. I think God sometimes allows it to say, okay, you were tithing when it was easy. You were tithing when you were getting blessed. You still going to tithe? You were giving offerings and listening to me when things were easy and things were going well. You still going to do it? You know, God will test our obedience sometimes. And you know how many times I've talked to somebody that said, well, yeah, preacher, we were tithing for a while, and then we had this happen, so we just couldn't tithe anymore. And I thought to myself, what? You didn't pass the test. You didn't pass the test, okay? And so sometimes it's God just testing our obedience. Sometimes God allows these kind of things because, folks, when you have this kind of catastrophic thing, there isn't anybody else to turn to. And I think God creates situations in our lives sometimes where the only person that can help us is Him. And so He sometimes, why in the world did God allow the children of Israel to go through those things in the wilderness? Because you know what? He wanted them to learn to rely on Him. That's why He let them get thirsty sometimes. That's why He let them get hungry sometimes. That's why the enemy was allowed to come on them sometimes. He wanted to teach them there's going to be things that happen in your life that are bigger than you. So who are you going to turn to? Your credit card? The banker? Or why don't you learn to run to me? Don't you think I care? Don't you think I can fix this? Why not just trust me? And so catastrophic situations may come into our life, but folks, don't allow these situations to drive you away from the Lord. Really allow these things to help you to get close to the Lord. Don't get bitter towards God because something happened that you really can't understand in your life. And I think the whole book of Job was put in the Bible to help us with these type of situations. You know what? Something like that happens in your life, go to Brother Job. Just start in chapter 1 and start reading. And I promise you, you'll learn a lot of things from Brother Job and the way he responded, and because of the way he responded correctly, how God came through for him in the end. And there are, in every family's life, you're not going to get through this life without an occasional financial setback that is catastrophe or borderline catastrophe. But I will tell you, once God gets you through them, you know what? You're going to look back at those same times, and those are going to be the times when your faith was built the most. So I hope these things have been a help to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd, Lord, just help us as we study the Word of God together and we try to learn you and understand your heart and your love for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to line ourselves up stronger and better with the principles of the Bible. Lord, help us to have a type of faith that is strong and testable, Lord, where we don't fall and fail every time we face a little adversity. Lord, I pray, dear God, the men in our church, Lord, thank you for the good men in our church. And they're leading their families and they're trying to lead them in the right way. And Lord, I pray, dear God, and I pray for each and every one of them as they look at their own particular financial situation in their home. Give them a lot of wisdom. Thank you for good, wise wives that help us, Lord, in so many of these areas, Lord. I just pray, dear God, that our young people will get some of these principles very early in their heart and in their life. And, Lord, that maybe they can avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the mistakes that some of us have made in our life. And, Lord, that they would get these things in their heart early. Lord, bless, dear God, the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.